The next day, Neffa introduced Krus to Dov. The horses circled each other warily, sniffed each other's mouths, and circled again. When Krus thrust his nose under Dov's tail, she feigned outrage and lashed out at him with both back legs, then raced away flirtatiously, with Krus prancing after her. Neffa let them graze together for the rest of the day, and the following morning showed them the chariot. This was not the magnificent royal vehicle, but an older, well-used one. He let them smell the shaft, which had been rubbed and polished smooth by contact with the flanks of many other horses. When they both lost interest in such a mundane object, Merrin led Krus away, while Neffa took Dov through the next step. Stroking and caressing her, he placed the harness carefully over her shoulders and fastened the straps. She fidgeted unhappily, but allowed him to place these unaccustomed restraints on her. He went up on her back and took her on two circuits of the field. When he brought her back, Merrin had the shaft ready. It was not attached to the chariot, although it had the ring bolt at one end. Neffa hitched the harness to it, and Dov rolled her eyes nervously as she felt the weight hanging down her side. She turned her head to examine the shaft, and once she'd satisfied her curiosity, he took her head and led her forward. She snorted and crabbed as the shaft followed her, but Neffa gentled and reassured her. After they'd circled the field a few times, she was no longer skittering sideways. Now came the crucial step. Neffa had borrowed Hilto's placid old mare and placed her in the right-hand traces. She stood there solidly. He hitched Dov into the left-hand position. The calm nature of the old mare reassured Dov, and she stood quietly. Neffa put their nosebags on them and fed them a ration of crushed durra. When she was relaxed and content, he padded Dov's back legs with strips of linen bandage so that she did not damage herself if she started kicking when she felt the full weight of the chariot behind her. He need not have worried. He took her head and led her forward, and she moved easily beside the old mare. Neffa touched her shoulder, and she leant into the harness and took her share of the weight like a veteran. Neffa broke into a run, and Dov trotted at his side. Then he jumped up into the cockpit and gathered up the reins. He put the pair through a series of turns, each one tighter than the last, and though Dov had never felt the reins before, she mimicked her right-hand partner faithfully. By the end of that day, she recognized the commands and responded to them instantly, rather than waiting for the old mare to show her the way. For another 5 days he ran the two mares together, and Dov learnt fast. Now it was time to take Krus through the same routine. It was 3 days before he stopped bolting as soon as he felt the drag of the shaft. Neffa almost gave up on him, but Taita made him persevere. "Give him your patience now, and he will reward you 1,000 times, he counselled. "He has intelligence and heart. You'll never find another to replace him." Eventually, Krus resigned himself to the pole that slithered after him and aped his every move so alarmingly. Neffa was at last able to place him in the traces beside Dov. She turned her head and nuzzled his neck, like a mother with a fractious child. Krus calmed down and ate his durra. When Neffa led them forward, he tried to turn sideways and balk, but Neffa slapped him sternly across the haunch. He straightened up and fell in line with Dov, but he was shirking. Another slap, and he put his shoulder into the traces and took his fair share. The sensation must have pleased him, for soon he was hauling with a will. The only difficulty was to make him stop. Merrin threw open the gate of the paddock and jumped up on the footplate as the chariot rolled past. They took the trade road and swept up the hills in a cloud of their own red dust. It was the route they took at dawn every day over the months that followed. Each evening when they returned to Galala, the horses were quicker and ran truer, shoulder to shoulder like a single beast with two heads and 8 legs. The two young warriors on the footplate were harder and tougher, burned dark by the desert sun. Mintaka learned how it must feel to be a widow.